to the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. In each episode of the show, we shine a spotlight on the women who are making strides and changing lives. Hi, this is Hope Gibbs with the Incandescent Radio Network. We are here at the Professional Business Women's Conference of California, and it was an amazing day. And today at 5 o'clock, we are sitting down with the wonderful Rita Moreno, who was a keynote speaker. At just 81 years young, she remains one of the busiest stars in show business. She just penned her first book, Rita Moreno, a memoir, and it's being published now. It's being signed by her today. She starred in the premiere of Life Without Makeup, an original play, which appears, and she also appears in Fran Drescher's, as Fran Drescher's mother in TV Land's Happily Divorced. In addition, she frequently travels for concerts and lectures. She's creative and she's diverse, and she broke down barriers throughout her career. Welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, wow, you.
That was a lovely introduction. Thank you.
So tell us, well, let's start first with your new book. Tell us about the memoir.
It's really a memoir. It's about my life from the time I was born in Puerto Rico to the time right now, actually. But it's more a memoir than an autobiography because things aren't done in the proper order as they would be in the front. I really wanted to avoid, and then I said, and then I wrote, and then this happened to me, and I really wanted it to be very personal, which I believe it is. And it's quite funny because it has what it covers that I love, because you don't see that anymore, is a Hollywood that no longer exists. And it was a Hollywood filled with racial bias.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But in ways, you know, that were, at least to a 17-year-old girl, kind of subtle until I finally got it. It took me a long time to get it. And it does have some delicious anecdotes. I mean, the Ann Miller story, and I'm just going to say it that way, is really hilarious. Jack Nicholson story, when we did a film called Carnal Knowledge, is pretty funny. And, you know, then there are, of course, very sad parts. I spent a great deal of time crying. A lot of wounds that I thought were healed had a very thin scab on them, it seems. And that was terrific. It really, you could almost say that I exorcised all kinds of things. In writing the book. I forgave my mother, which is very, very important. And more than that, it's not that she did such terrible things. It's that just that there were things I just couldn't get out of my mind. And I think probably the most profound thing I said in the Q&A today was, and it just came to me when people said, well, you know, why are you so terrific? Why are you so happy? Why is everything so good? And you look wonderful, blah, blah. And it suddenly occurred to me, and I said, don't hang on to resentments. And boy, I have plenty that I can think about, you know, just with the racial bias issue alone. And it's really good advice that I gave. It's very wise. And I hope people took me seriously when I said that. People live with a lot of anger. All of us, I might add. And this was a kind of a marvelous way to ameliorate some of that, or soften it, or say, oh, for God's sake, get off it. You know, smell, look around you, look at your grandchildren. What do you want, you selfish little Puerto Rican? And the selfish little Puerto Rican answered, I want everything!
Uh-huh. Don't we all?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So last night you talked about when you're a little girl, how your mom couldn't say her vowels. Tell that story.
Well, my mom had a great battle with vowels. She would say things like, every Saturday was, not every Saturday, but every fourth Saturday we would change the sheets in the apartment. And she'd say, Rosita, today is Saturday. Do you know what that means? It's time to change the sheets. And things like going swimming at the beach. And lots of others that are really obscene. But I can't tell you, oh my God, my poor brother. Let me just put it this way. My brother, and I leave the rest to your imaginations, my brother was going to LeConte Junior High. Okay, you're already laughing. You follow my meaning? And she would say the word, and she'd say, Junior High. And poor Dennis would say, Mom, why don't you just say Junior High? Because she was so proud of him. Oh, he goes to Junior High.
So cute.
It's funny.
Funny. It's good stuff.
Coming out of, you know, out of that really very innocent woman.
Yeah. So sweet. Did you always know you wanted to be an actress and a dancer?
Always. I knew, well, it wasn't specific, but I knew that I wanted to perform. Mm-hmm. And I did perform for my grandpa in Puerto Rico. And very soon after I arrived in New York City, a friend of my mother's, who was a Spanish dancer, saw me bopping around the apartment and said, you know, I think Rosita has talent. Would you let me take her to my dancing teacher? That was a man named Paco Cancino, who, as it turned out, was Rita Hayworth's uncle. Her,
oh, my gosh.
Her name originally was Margarita Cancino. And that's how it started.
Wow.
I mean, I was, what, five?
Wow.
A baby.
And then what? Then how did that progress?
Well, I just took more lessons. I began to take ballet. I began to audition for things. I did a lot of radio for a while. Somehow, I always ended up being the girl who would say, but I'm telling you, I saw that lady in the grotto, and she wore a blue veil. Get that child out of here. She's mad. That was the Ave Maria hour.
Yeah.
I was always playing, you know, those little girls who saw visions, and they all thought she was insane.
Wow. Was it weird to be a kid and an actress, or perfectly natural?
To me, it was like waking up in the morning.
Perfectly natural.
Oh, absolutely. As I said, in Puerto Rico, I was dancing to, except I didn't call it a job at the time. It wasn't a profession. It was just something I liked to do. And my grandpa just loved to see me. And I was really a cute little girl.
I'm sure you're really cute now.
If you look at the back cover of the book, there's a picture I adore of myself holding a skirt way up with a huge bow on my head and a dress that my mother made for me. She used to sew for me. And I just, you know, I look at myself then and I just think, isn't that the cutest little girl? You know, big brown eyes. I have a baby picture that I adore. I actually kiss it now and then.
Aww.
Well, because it's, you know, such innocence.
Yeah.
It's such purity.
Your inner child.
Oh,
outside.
Man. I adore children anyway. I'm a fan, let's say.
Oh, they're innocent.
I should have been an A. I'm just a fan of, yes, they're pure. They're pure. And it's horrifying to see what we do to children.
It's true.
It's horrifying. It's abusive. Even when it's not, it is.
Yeah.
Because they turn their minds around. And that's abuse of a very special kind. So I should have had several kids. It's just Fernanda, my daughter, her name is Fernanda Luisa. I say to her all the time, and she gets so embarrassed. I said, you were my last good egg.
How old were you when you had her?
I think I was 33, and that was considered old.
Wow.
Like a couple of years later, people started getting pregnant at 38, 37, not 40.
Right.
I mean, that would have been really creepy at the time. But very soon thereafter, people started to just say, hell with it. I don't get pregnant. I feel fine. I feel healthy. And it was fine.
Yeah. Do you have grandchildren?
I have two boys who are they are the light in my life. My daughter is my soul. Other than that, they're okay.
Tell us about West Side Story. That is, I think,
well,
that's
one
of your classics. So how did you get
that
part?
When you ask a question, like, tell me about yourself, I'm saying,
where do
yeah.
I start?
So what do you want to know?
How did you get the part?
I auditioned like everybody else.
Okay.
I had already worked with Jerome Robbins on The King and I. And for those who don't know his name, he was a genius choreographer who eventually also co-directed West Side Story with Robert Wise. And I auditioned like everybody else. I auditioned for the singing, I auditioned for the dancing, I auditioned for the candy store scene where the boys abuse her. everything, just like everybody else. And I'm still auditioning.
Right.
When I went to see about playing Fran Drescher's mother, I had to audition. And I hate it because I'm not good at auditions. But this was funny. And it was a very New York woman who talked sort of very like Fran. So that came very naturally because I had many Jewish friends in New York who came either from Brooklyn or the Bronx. So that was an easy audition. None has ever been since then or before then.
Wow.
I'm not good at it.
Why?
I get very nervous and I just goof. I don't do it right.
But you get the part.
Oh, no.
Not always.
Oh, no.
What was the biggest part you didn't get or the best part you wish you would have gotten?
Gee, there were a couple. You know, I can't remember the name of the film. And I have to search for my keys a lot these days. Damn if I can remember the name of that movie. You'd think I would, but I don't.
What was your favorite performance?
Well, my favorite performance really wasn't on film. It was playing Norma Desmond in London. And one other here in San Francisco, playing Maria Callas in Masterclass.
Wow.
That was extraordinary.
What made them so special?
Well, so the characters are written in such a rich way. And the fun of playing Maria Callas, as well as Norma Desmond for that matter, is that you are free to really ham it up.
Yeah.
And that can be a trap.
Why?
Because I remember seeing Glenn Close in the production she had been doing in L.A., and they had already asked me if I would be interested in doing it in London. So I went to see the play. And she came down the steps. And by the way, I think she's a smashing actress. And I devour Damages. However, on that occasion, maybe just that one night, I don't know, she came out doing Act 3 already. You know, she had to say something like, to you, who are you? And she was already in the third act, you know, mad as a hatter. And that's easy to do. It's an easy trap when you're playing a very large character. And Callas was a large character, too, and you had to be really careful. And actually, I played also Amanda Wingfield in The Glass Menagerie at the Berkeley Rep, too, and that's easy to go too far. Mm. She's such a magnolia.
Yeah.
And you can just overdo that so much. Just drag out all those syllables and fall in love with yourself, you know, in your accent.
Oh, fun.
So there's all kinds of acting traps, all kinds. And I really pride myself on pulling back, having the control to do that. That's a very big part of my technique, you could say. And I see myself overdoing some nights, and I get embarrassed. And I really get embarrassed and say, you know, I'll go to the dressing room and say, don't do that. It's shameful. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
So just a few more questions.
Pull up a chair.
So what was your favorite film?
Well, I had a very tiny part in it, but Singing in the Rain was just incredible. I love that movie. And, of course, West Side Story. It gave me the opportunity of a lifetime. It brought me back to dance. At the time that I auditioned for West Side Story, I hadn't danced in about 10 years. I hadn't moved a muscle.
Wow. And you weren't that old when you did that. How old were you?
I was about 25. Old enough.
Yeah.
And those dances for Jerome Robbins were like being asked to play 3 sets of tennis, you know, one after the other.
Wow.
His stuff is very
good. Well, it's difficult. So beautiful, the choreography.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Were you friends with the cast? Did you stay friends with Natalie?
Oh, sure. Oh, Natalie, no, but nobody was. Natalie was cool. She wasn't rude. She wasn't standoffish. She wasn't rude. She was cool. And I think the reason is that she felt uncomfortable. She felt that she was, and she was right, that she was out of her element.
Really?
Well, don't you think so when you saw the movie?
I thought that brought some honesty to the character, right? That she was so insecure.
Well, I didn't say insecure. I said cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah, cool. Oh, definitely cool.
So tell us how you really feel, Rita. Don't stint. And I think Cass was dying to become friendly with her. Mm. And she didn't know enough to invite everybody over to her house one Sunday. You know, come on, go to the pool, swim, have some hot dogs and beer and get drunk or whatever. Yeah. That's all she had to do. They were dying to be acknowledged by her.
Interesting.
But she just didn't know. It wasn't that she wasn't rude. She just didn't know any better, truly.
Are you friendly with Fran Drescher?
Oh, God, yes.
She seems like a very cool person.
Wonderful woman. Yeah. She's just terrific. And I'm waiting to hear if we're going to be picked up or not. It's been a very long wait, so I am a little concerned that maybe we won't be picked up.
Mm. Well, we'll have to stay tuned for
There's
that.
No business like show business. Right?
And you just got back from a big international
Budapest.
Trip.
Budapest. Yeah. I was doing a movie with Jenna Rollins, whom I've always loved, which was an absolute pleasure to be with her. It's a small role, but it's a small movie, too.
How beautiful. What's it called?
Cheyenne Jackson is in it. It's taken from a play called Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks. And apparently it's a play that everybody does, including Budapest. It's been running there for about 6 years. Is that crazy?
That's cool. You never know what's going on in other parts of the world.
Wow.
So talk a little bit about the conference and leaning in and Sheryl Sandberg's message. I mean, you clearly broke down tons of barriers.
I didn't get to hear her. When was she on?
She was on this morning. She was amazing. You can watch your TED Talk. It'll make you mad as hell. Like, we got to do something about this. But you've already done it. So
I love what the governor said, too. She said something so important. She said, we need more women politicians.
Yeah.
And she was saying, commit yourself. Do it. We need you.
Yeah.
She kills me.
Yeah, she's great.
And she's so gorgeous, you know, you just want to smack her.
Well, look who's talking. So why do you think that women don't lean in?
I think it's because of the way we're brought up. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's complicated, and I don't think it's that subtle. I think, of course, as a Latina, inevitably, I was brought up to be a nice girl, a good girl. And my mother let me know in no uncertain terms, without in any way meaning to sound cruel, that if I wasn't a good girl, she would take her love away.
Oh.
Yeah, but she didn't put it that way, but I understood what that meant. So I grew up being a very good girl, and a lot of Latina girls have been brought up that way. And it's very difficult to get over that. I didn't have something like this today. I didn't have all those wonderful programs that exist nowadays for young people, particularly inner city young people. Who knows what I might have accomplished if I had been one of those children.
Like what?
Like what? Like not having to wait for almost 40 years to do West Side Story. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I envy Jennifer Lopez, who just got in there and did all that wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm envious of that access. She doesn't have to talk with an accent. If anything, she talks with a kind of a Bronxy or Brooklyniac, but I don't know what it is. And it doesn't Queen matter, too. And she's Latina. Mm-hmm. And her name is Jennifer Lopez. So it's very different. As not good as it is now, it was way worse before. The door is ajar. It's not wide open. And it's heavy. And you have to push hard. But it's ajar. Wow.
Yeah. That's
and that I can play Fran Drescher's Jewish Bronx mother, you know, it's just fabulous. But it took me until 80 to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I get envious. You know?
Because
there's so many things I would love to have done.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. not just done, but to at least audition for. I couldn't even audition for things.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you mean Rita Moreno? No, she's, you know, she's Hispanic. She's, they didn't even use that word then. She's Spanish. You know. So I didn't have a chance. You really have to make your own way. You have to persevere. And it's very, very hard to persevere when you feel that you're not, that you don't have value. Mm. And I really felt that way for too many years.
But you kept going.
But I could, there was something in me that drove me. It's true. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Something in me. Well, I say it in the book, I think. I just knew that I had talent and that some way, somehow, somebody would see it. And it was Jerry Robbins, really, essentially. Was maybe the meanest man in the world.
But he saw talent.
Exactly.
He knew it when he saw it.
That's right.
That's great. So two last questions and then we'll let you.
You keep saying that.
I know. Sorry. It's a journalist prerogative. So what's next for you?
I'm going to go back to doing some concerts and cabaret, which I really love. And I'm hoping that the series comes back. Mm-hmm. I really do. I had a great time. More than that, it gave me a kind of recognition that you just can't get anywhere else, television.
Yeah.
It's astonishing. It's amazing how when I would go on talk shows to talk about the book, there was a huge bump up of sales.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just astonishing. TV is very, very powerful. And, you know, I hope to do some more TV, films if I can get them. I'd love to do more films if I can. But, you know, if Shirley MacLaine has a hard time, what do you think it's like for me? Right? Right. So, but I can tell you this, I will always be working because I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see me wheeling, I can see them wheeling me in a gurney. Or on roller skates. And having the role, having the leading man say, "Well, you get that old broad off the stage, I'm going to kill her."
All right, promise this is the last question. What do you hope your legacy will be?
That I persevered. I really think that's what it's all about, perseverance. You have to find a way, even when you don't believe in yourself, to believe in yourself. Don't even ask me how that's done. It just happened.
It's inside you.
Yeah.
So persevere and let go of.
Oh, that's the most important thing of all, is to let go of your anger. But that's easier said than done. And I think therapy is a very good idea.
Well, this has been very therapeutic.
Well,
I was in it
for at least 8 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You found your way out of it?
I had a really wonderful therapist who really helped me enormously.
Is that how the book came to be born?
Oh, no. The book came to be born. It was inspired by the play I did about my life at Berkeley Repertory Theater in Berkeley. And it was called, it's a great title, Life Without Makeup.
Yes.
Which is what my book is, too. It's very honest.
And you won a presidential award from George Bush.
Oh, I've won a bunch of awards. Yeah, I got one from him. And I got one from my guy, Obama. And I have a lot of nice hardware in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I forget about it. Once in a while, I will go past them. They're on a shelf. And I'll just stop and look at them and say, not bad for a little Puerto Rican girl.
Wow.
But I'm very grateful. I really am. I'm very grateful.
Well, we're grateful for you to have been on our Incandescent Radio Network. Thank you, Rita Moreno. You are a truly amazing woman.
Now, are you sure that's the last question?
If you wanted to, yes.
I just don't trust you anymore.
This is Hope Gibbs with the Incandescent Radio Network at the Professional Businesswomen of California Conference, signing off. Thank you very much for being with us. All right.
That's it for today's episode of the Truly Amazing Women Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. If you're a truly amazing woman or know someone who is, don't hesitate to contact us. Simply log on to www.trulyamazingwomen.com and fill out the proposal form. We've profiled more than 250 women on the site who fit the bill of being truly amazing, and we look forward to honoring more. Who will be our next truly amazing woman? Tune in next week for a new episode on www.incandescentradio.com. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.